Lutheran Church, today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The order of service is found in your bulletin this morning, Divine Service 3. The hymns are found in your hymnal. A couple of announcements to bring to your attention. In 2 weeks, December 3rd, is our annual voters congregational meeting. There are information packets in your mailboxes today that you can take. At that meeting, we will be voting on some new positions that need to be voted upon. I believe it's president, stewardship, and outreach. I don't remember what the other one is, but nonetheless, it's in there. I think one of the elders too that we're going to be voting on, and as well the all important budget for 2018. So keep that in mind on December 3rd. That'll be happening immediately after the service in the social hall. Also, you see a little slip in the bulletin. There's been some talk amongst various people in the congregation about what time to have Christmas Eve service. So we thought we would put it out to you for a vote. We're going to be taking a vote over the next couple of weeks. If you want it at 5:30, circle 5:30. If you want it at 7, put it at 7. Drop it in the offering plate. We do not live in Chicago. There is no double voting. Or voting for those who have gone on to glory. Please, if you would like to put down your opinion with that, that would be great. We pray the Lord's richest blessings as he comes to us with his word and grace. We begin with hymn 804. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who also had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please turn to page 326 in the front part of your hymnal. Today we look at the sacrament of the altar. Page 326, first 2 parts. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself, for us Christians to eat and drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. As mentioned last week, we are in the last days of the church year where we focus on the end times. And I remember growing up in the Lutheran church that I grew up in, that whenever this parable of the talents came along, you knew what the pastor was going to talk about. Money. Stewardship. The three T's, time, talent, and treasure, and how all of us have been given these various gifts. And what are you going to do? How are you going to invest in the church? How are you going to help expand the kingdom of God? How is it that you are going to use the gifts that God has given to you? And if you do this, it's like some late night pyramid scheme you see on TV. God will abundantly bless you. The more that you give, the more that you'll prosper. The more that you give to the church, the more that the church will prosper. This man was given five talents. He came with five talents more. This one was given two talents. He came with two more. And don't be like the one who had the one talent and put it under his mattress for the last day. This text has always been seemingly devoted to that. In Sunday school, even, we were taught how properly to divide dollars into dimes. After all, 10% is the gauge of tithing, right? And we learned what the word tithing meant. We might have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ 11 months out of the year. But in November and come December, the budget wasn't going to pay for itself. And so we had to talk about the three T's: time, talent, and treasure. The budget is not going to pay for itself. The budget we're going to decide on in 2 weeks. We have a building committee that's working on looking at our social hall and the hangout, these buildings that are used regularly almost every day on this property. And there will be great times, I'm sure, of question, maybe a little bit of fear as the congregation looks at these numbers and says, the sky is falling, we have no money, we can't do this. We have no ability to do this. Look at these numbers. There's no way we can meet this. But we have to go back to the reality that these are all the gifts of God that He's given to us. And we also have to go back to the reality that this text has really nothing to do with stewardship. So don't expect that from me this morning. Stewardship is a great thing. It's a fantastic thing. It's something that we should each and every week and each and every month re-examine in our own lives and see what it is that we are doing with the many gifts that God has given to us, not just for the benefit of the church, but for the benefit of your family, the benefit of your neighbors, the benefit of everybody else around us. Because everything that has been given to you by God is not for your own personal enjoyment, as hard as it is to come to that reality. Your car is on loan to you from God. Your house is on loan to you from God. Yes, I know you're paying the rent or the mortgage, but soon, someday, somebody will be living in that house when you are not. Your clothes are on loan to you from God. The money that you have in your bank account is on loan to you from God. I earned that money. I accrued this great retirement, Pastor. I have got all these savings that I have worked for over the years, but God gave you the talent and the ability and the means to earn those things, and everything that He has given to you is on loan to you from Him. He daily and richly sustains you in body and in soul. But today's text isn't about that either. Today's text is about what we just sang about, the great and terrible day of the Lord. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, the day of the Lord. We don't like to hear about that, do we? We don't like to look at these texts from Zephaniah. How many of you have had a Bible study on Zephaniah? How many of you have read Zephaniah recently on these things? We tend to gloss over the reality that the day of the Lord is coming. And yet it is. The last three Sundays of the church year remind us that the day of judgment is coming. Last week we heard of the five virgins who ran out of oil and were left outside. Today we hear about the foolish servant who buries the gift and loses everything. Next week we'll hear about the sheep being separated from the goats by Christ himself on the last day. Judgment is the one side of our God that we never like looking at. We're afraid of it, we're afraid of what other people might think of it, and it has been misinterpreted in many ways. We don't like to think about his anger, his wrath, or his punishment, because in many ways it's too terrifying to imagine, or in many ways we just don't believe it. It's just not going to happen. Haven't seen it happen in our lifetime, probably not going to see it ever, maybe we might say. However, Scripture gives us clear pointing to this. Jesus himself uses three different parables in Matthew chapter 25 alone to talk about the end of the kingdom of God on earth. Like it or not, this is part of our Lord's plan. And we need to see this side of him. We need to know that he has a reason for his anger, a reason for his wrath, a reason for such judgment. We need to know that because our sins are not just little mistakes. It's not just a slip-up that happened. And it's not, well, we're all human and therefore we sin. Because God made you as human beings. And if we simply look at sin as, well, we're all human, then we're saying that God is the author of sin in us as well. We are fallen human beings. And sin is evil. My personal sin that I do is evil. And when I try to justify that evil, I only make things worse for myself. I'm just like the servant who buried the gift given to him by the master. His reason was more sinister than the very act of throwing it under the mattress. He blamed the master for giving him the gift, the talent. For giving him this thing, rather than he realizing that the master had given him the talent in order that he might live. After all, if you read this parable again, you'll notice the master never commanded them to invest it. He just gave it to them. He just gave them 5, 2, and 1. Rather than each servant was given to their according to their own ability for them to live on, even though he was the one who needed the least help, this servant buried the gift, and he put God in his own terms rather than God showing us what his will is. He despised the gift and threw it back at the master's face when he came home after the long journey. And so what is the gift in this parable? It's not the time, talent, and treasures. It is the gospel. The very reason for why we gather at this place. And the gospel is not just, this is who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. This is Jesus dying and rising. Jesus bleeding and stepping out of an empty tomb for you. To take away all your sin, all your evil, all the death that we face each and every day and that we see. That is the gospel. It is not just good news, like, the 49ers won last week. It is the good news that keeps on giving us eternal life. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation, we talked about in the catechism this morning. It is the ongoing gift given to you each and every day by true God and true man, Jesus Christ, coming into your midst, speaking words of blessed forgiveness, hope, and peace to you, to calm your fears, to remind you that the day of his end of the end times is not a day of wrath or anger for you, because you are children of light, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians this morning. The complete forgiveness of all sins is this talent that God gives to all people, the gift of his grace. But if we don't see the need for it, then we will never know how much we truly need it. Nor will we see how great the gift is that Jesus gives. Because even though we are evil because of our sin, even though we are more evil than we would like to even acknowledge, Jesus Christ still comes to take away all of our sin. He was born taking on our humanity. He lived and endured the same temptations that you and I face. He doesn't sit here as some sort of example telling us, try to follow me in my pattern. He does not come to be served, but rather to serve. He endures all manners of sin, temptation, loneliness, pain, suffering, and loss for you, so that he may walk side by side with you in this life. Not to show us how to live properly by some moral example, but to give up his life for you. And greater love has no one than this, that he gives up his life for you, his friends, his children. He was betrayed, he was abandoned, he was falsely accused, beaten, mocked, and crucified, and yet while we are still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And that's what's been given to you today. That's what's been given to this church. And as we go forward as a church, as individual Christians and as a community of believers, with all that we are going to try to plan and talk about and discuss with the future, this better always be at the forefront and the center. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. God has more than enough to give to us. He keeps on giving it to us, and he will always give it to us, as long as we continue to gather around his good and gracious gifts that he desires first and foremost, his forgiveness, his life for you. The judgment day still needs to be told. We still need to be reminded. The forgiveness of sin still needs to be told. We still need to be reinsured. But it's not a matter of one or two or five talents worth. It's not a matter of I'm going to come here for 20 years or 30 years or 100 years. Every sin of all your time on this earth has been forgiven and forgotten by Jesus. And when you are given this forgiveness on an ongoing basis as individuals and as a church, it will continue to grow according to God's gracious favor and promise. So how does this leave us on the last day? How does that leave us with reading something like Zephaniah? Go back for a moment to your Old Testament reading in Zephaniah. And hear it again. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guest. Absolutely right. He has sacrificed his son for you and has made you consecrated and holy in baptism. He has invited you to his table this day. And on that day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons. Absolutely. The very Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, has been sacrificed for you. The great day of the Lord is near, a near and hastening fast day. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. And that mighty man is our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who cried out bitterly on the cross for you. A day of wrath is that day. The wrath of God, the cup of wrath, poured out onto Jesus, who drank it to the very dregs for you. A day of distress and anguish with the cry of Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A day of ruin and devastation, a day of earthquakes like on Good Friday that raised the dead and that tore the temple curtain in two. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And there was darkness in the land until the ninth hour on Good Friday. A day of trumpet blast, and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. Beware, O gates of hell. Beware, O kingdom of the devil. Jesus has come with the keys in his hand, and he is letting his prisoners free. Hell will not prevail over his church. The last day is coming, but for those of us in Christ Jesus, the day of judgment has already passed. Did you get that? It's past for you. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We still look at our sin. We still look at the evil and our old Adam within us, and we will never take for granted the gift that God gives to us in the forgiveness of all of our sins. But it's yours today. It is yours today freely. And should this day be the last day, we will not look up into the sky at the Lord's return with fear and trembling. We will stand up and look up and rejoice, for our salvation draws near. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our gifts to the Lord.